For those of you that might not know me, my name is Tony. I'm one of the elders here at Harbor Rock. I was recently brought on its staff at the beginning of the year to serve you in the area of outreach. And I am honored to be part of a movement that we believe God is leading this church here at Harbor Rock into. My prayer here is not just that God would lead me in this calling, but even more for your prayers and your support, and more importantly, maybe your patience as I kind of grow into this role here and in this calling. This is all new for me, so I'd appreciate that. Just keep me in your prayers and just be patient as we grow. I believe many of you guys have callings in your lives, and I'd love to be part of that, and I'd love to actually co-lead some of these opportunities with you. So what I'm asking for is even some ideas from you, and not just ideas, all right? I can come up with 30 ideas. I'm looking even more specifically with an idea that God has birthed in your heart that you would want to lead as well, and I'd like to come beside you and lead that. So that's kind of our heart today. I've never been more excited and terrified at the same time to step out in faith alongside you and serve the various needs of this church and its community. With your prayers and your spiritual giftings and support that I feel I'll be able to effectively perform my duties and responsibilities here. So as I was called up, I will now call upon you guys as well. So that's one of the first things you learn in leadership is to delegate. And I know that God has put a calling on hearts here, and I'm excited to hear what that calling is. So one thing first that God has really placed on my heart before we get going is a greater need for unity within the church. I think we're scratching the surface with the greet your neighbor time. I'm always encouraged, but I believe God wants to go so much deeper than just asking how your day is here, and I believe God is wants to stir and create a real community in this church, because I believe in order to affect good outreach, there first needs to be dynamic inreach. All right, when we do that well, when we are together as a church, when we are excited to meet, when we are looking for opportunities to get together, I think that's just going to overflow through the doors. I think people are going to see a stirring here, and they're just going to be drawn to that. And plus, isn't it a lot easier to invite friends to a church you actually want to go to? I don't know about you, but I mean, you know, if I'm not too impressed with it and I really don't want to go, it's kind of hard to bring somebody along. So I just want to encourage you. You're the facet of outreach here. You know, the studies show 86% of all church attendees were personally invited. So I want you to personally invite somebody. That's the opportunity I want you guys to take. We want to hang out more. I love you guys. We want to hang out more. I love to get to know your stories and your heart, and hear what great things the Lord has led you through, and be able to minister in your life and you minister in mine. And I kind of like to take the first step this morning and have you get to know me a little bit more. How God has moved in my life and in my heart to bring you here, to bring me here this morning in front of you. Let me kind of set the table a little bit. How many of you are planners? Just a show of hand. You're a planner. Amen. 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 You get the calendar at the beginning of the year, right? And you can't wait to start jotting down birthdays and anniversaries and everything else that's going to go on in the year. And it's kind of fun. We look into the future, especially if it's January, February, we're planning vacations, we're planning trips to warmer weather. It's sort of exciting, right? Maybe some of you guys have plans here for this summer or fall. Maybe it's a plan to buy a house or purchase a car or vehicle or start a family and have more kids or to not have more kids. I'd love to turn that chapter in my life here. Some of us are planning vacations right now. If we discuss family camp and the opportunity that many of us will have to go and spend time again, community and fellowship with one another. And recently, we booked a trip. We're going to be heading out to Maine here at the end of May to visit Christy's folks. For those of you that don't know, she's from Maine. And so we're getting an opportunity for the first time to bring my entire family out there. And so I'm booking a vacation stay through Vrbo and kind of, you know, setting up and taking care of all the details. And one of the things that comes up at the bottom of the purchase order is the insurance. You see, you can buy trip insurance. And it was $40, and I figured that's got to be the best $40 you could ever spend. Because let's face it, what happens? Life happens, right? Things that are totally unexpected, all right? Things that aren't part of our plan, right? And how, probably many of you right now are going through things right now. You don't have to wait for summer or fall. Because you're going through something right now that wasn't part of your plan. You didn't plan for this. Maybe someone's sick. Someone in your family is sick. Maybe somebody passed away. Maybe somebody lost a career or changed a career. Maybe someone had children earlier than expected, or you learned you might not be able to have children. Whatever the story is, that wasn't part of your plan. That's not how... It's not how you saw your life going anyways. and it's really, right now, it's throwing you a state of confusion and frustration. You struggle right now with really, how do I cope with this? This wasn't what I decided. It wasn't part of my plan. This wasn't how life was supposed to be going for me. Or maybe you're like me, and you got so used to having your plans fall apart that you just stopped making them. Anybody in that this morning? Figure, what's the use? That was a season of my life. And you struggle with the feelings of failure and defeat right now. And you're a million miles away from where you thought you'd be at this point in your life. Or perhaps you're at the beginning. And we've got some teenagers here and some young adults. And right now you're looking into the future and you're planning where I'm gonna go to school or what career path am I gonna go on next. And right now you sort of feel overwhelmed with the weight of planning your future, and you feel like you don't really know how or what to do at this point. And you're sort of drifting right now. Real no clear direction or vision, and you're exhausted. Anybody exhausted this morning? And you hear people quote scripture to you like Jeremiah 23:11. We all know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And you so desperately want to believe in this morning, but at this point, that plan seems like such a giant mystery to you. And if this is you this morning, let me assure you, you're not alone. For most of my life, this was me, and it would continue to be me until God intervened and taught me, I think, two key steps that were necessary for me to take before he would reveal his plan for my life. And I'd like to share these two things that I learned with this morning, because I think there's possibly many of you out there today that I recognize that you're like me and you struggle with finding and walking the plan and the calling God's got for your life. And I'll just tell you right now, it doesn't have to be a mystery. It doesn't have to be a mystery. And I just want to encourage everybody that there is hope. And I just stand up here this morning as a testimony to declaring that. It's often difficult. It's not easy. All right. Let's be real here. Jesus never promised it was going to be easy. All right. That's a promise. Let me just tell you here that this, right now, this was never my plan for my life this morning. In fact, I'm about as far away probably right now from whatever I had envisioned for my life at this point. I am as far away as where I thought I'd be in my early 20s, and this isn't what I planned. Never once did I ever think or imagine I'd be on the staff of a church, leading a men's Bible study, or preaching on a Sunday morning. I would have told you, number one, I've got zero interest in any of that. It's not my wiring. That's not my character. And my greatest fear is public speaking. So there's zero chance that's even possible. So what happened? What happened to change all this? First, I really want to make something exceedingly clear. I don't share this with you this morning to boast about any accomplishments or achievements that I've made or with any strengths or amount of wisdom that I brought to the table, because despite what any of you might think about me, I don't possess any of that. I come this morning boasting in a God that chooses to use the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and the weak things of the world to shame the strong, and the lonely and despised things of the world to bring to nothing the things that are. And if you identify with this morning, the weak, the foolish, the lonely, and the despised thing, let me suggest to you one thing. You might actually be right where God needs you in order to begin to use you to fulfill his calling in your life. Let me share my story a bit. My testimony isn't crazy, at least on the surface. I was never saved off a bed of suicide. I wasn't out gangbanging or running the streets. I never struggled with substance abuse or drug addictions. I never cheated on my wife or on my taxes. I always worked hard and tried to be honest. I went to church most Sundays when I didn't have anything important to do. I tried my best to make people laugh and to be liked by everybody. And all the while, most of this sounds good, and I think we'd agree that these are good qualities to have. The big secret that nobody knew, and including myself, was that I was completely living for myself. The truth is, I was a self-absorbed, arrogant, and ignorant man who thought he was better off than a lot of other people. I really had no interest in helping anybody but myself. I put my needs and my desires ahead of my wife and my kids. And I did whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it, and I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I pursued vanity in cars and in clothing. I was consumed with body image and worked endlessly in the gym to create an identity for myself that would be built out of my physical strengths and my physique, and I wanted to be known by these qualities. I was never content with what I had, and I had an unsatisfiable appetite for bigger and better, and I loved the hustle and pursuit of that. I was in a physical prime and having the time of my life. Life was great. Life was great. I had a beautiful wife and just beginning my family, and I had an awesome career going with the fire department and was making good money on the side doing personal training. I had a wonderful house and drove my dream vehicle. I was 100% committed to my passion in bodybuilding, began competing and placing very well in regional and out-of-state shows. I began to develop a local reputation for my accomplishments in bodybuilding, which I had hoped would eventually lead me to magazine and other publication acknowledgments, product endorsements, and just continued popularity. I had a lot of friends and acquaintances and gloated how much and how many people knew and liked me. I was a self-professing Christian who usually attended early church service so I didn't ruin the rest of my Sunday and would never be caught dead in church after a kickoff during the football season. I did own two very nice study Bibles. One was a gift given by my folks at our wedding. It was really nice. It actually had my wife's and myself's name written in gold on the cover of it. I made sure to take good care of it, and I set it down nicely, and I never put anything on top of it. You know, I would certainly never read it, but I, you know, took care of it and respected it. You know, I grew up in the church. I figured, you know, I heard all the stories as a kid, and it's not like any of them changed. Plus, I figured I was getting plenty of God from all the preaching on Sunday morning. I never attended a midweek service. Partly because I didn't have enough time, and the reality was I just didn't really want to go to one. I couldn't bring myself to listen to Christian music. I was a country music fan, and figured since most of the artists at the CMAs were always giving glory to God, I was kind of like listening to Christian music, and then listening to them sing a song about booze and girlfriends and a truck. And you know, I didn't have any Christian friends, and the one I did have, I actually felt responsible for. Possibly leading his wandering away from the faith for a time. I didn't want to hang around with other Christian men either. They seemed weird and unrelatable to me. Plus, I didn't need a bunch of conviction in my life at this time. Things were going way too good for that. I never thought of myself as a spiritual leader of my household. I was very willing to hand that job over to Christy, my wife, who definitely seemed better fit for the job anyways. She was one who wasn't kicked out of Bible college. That's another story. Everything was going great, and life was fun. I enjoyed it. I was very happy with how things were going and certainly not looking for anything that was going to change this. Then God stepped in. Yeah, I remember a Montgomery Gentry song, and part of it was, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. And I don't know if God was, if he laughed or was crying at mine, but he stepped in and he began to alter my course. God put a man in my life. He intervened and put a man in my life. And this guy was a famous local professional athlete, and he began his off-season training program at the gym that I was working at. And I thought, man, what better way for me to grow my local celebrity status than to hang around with other local celebrities, right? I'm sure he hung out with other famous and influential people, and, if I desired to get a piece of that, and I was going to have to network in somehow, so this seemed like a perfect opportunity for me. Grow my clientele base and my contacts. Who knows where things could have led or where things were going, but I just thought great things were going to happen. So I began to really work myself into this guy's life. I learned his schedule, and I made sure I was at the gym every time he was there, and we joke and I jam a little bit about the team that he played on, and I definitely could have been a professional athlete. I just never really tried hard enough, but I should be out there playing with him as well, and so we built kind of a good relationship over the next few months, finally one day he pulled me aside and he asked me, invited me if I wanted to come with him and one of his friends to a Bible study. I thought, a Bible study? You've got to be kidding me. My mind was kind of racing. I took him up on the offer. I figured, well, it's a rather small price to pay if I was to grow my status. Plus, he said there was going to be possibly other athletes there, so I thought this was a wonderful opportunity for me to take advantage of this. Never did I expect what God had in mind with a simple invite to a small Tuesday morning 9:30 Starbucks Oak Creek men's Bible study. I grew up in the church, and many times we'd have Teen Challenge come in, and I don't know if any of you are familiar with Teen Challenge. So amazing ministry, and we get a lot of dynamic and powerful testimonies that would come in, and they'd share how, man, they were down and out, and there was no other hope for their life, and things got turned around, and I was just always amazed and impressed by that, and I thought, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. Mine seemed kind of weak and anemic, I listened to so many people say, my life was such a mess, and then I met Jesus, and it all came together, and God bless you if that's you this morning. That might be some of you, and I think there's incredible power in your testimony, and I really suggest and want to encourage you to write that down and share that. That wasn't mine. Mine was kind of the opposite. For me, I pretty much had my life all together, and then I met Jesus, and he messed it all up. And ever since then, I've been kind of recovering. You see, for the first time in my life, I actually sat down and read the words of Jesus. I heard him say very hard and difficult things that I never heard before. Like, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And if anyone who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I began to read the words in Matthew 7, Jesus warning large crowds that the gate to life is narrow and few will find it. And that not everyone that professes him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me. And that terrified me. That terrified me. I had to at least entertain the idea, is it possible I was deceived? Is it possible all the while attending a church? Is it possible all the while professing Jesus Christ as my Savior? Is it possible somehow that I was a stranger to him? And suddenly I began to experience a collision inside of me. I began to realize there was more to Christianity than just simply believing in Jesus. And how Christ's view of what it meant to be a true follower of his was quite a bit different than I come to understand. And I started to understand that Jesus did not simply come to make believers, but to come to form disciples. And if I was to become a true disciple of Jesus, it was going to cost me something. But what was the cost to follow Jesus? And perhaps more importantly, would I be willing to pay for it? In Luke 15, Jesus teaches the large crowds around him that there would be a great cost in following him, and to consider it, lest any one of them find out later with great strife that they were unable to pay for it. He tells them, he says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone will see it and ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, will he send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask him for terms of peace? In the same way, those who do not give up all they have will not be able to follow me. You cannot be my disciples. And right there, right at the end of that, I had my answer. In the same way, those who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Let me share with you this morning, the cost to follow Jesus is everything. I understood now that simply calling myself a Christian didn't make me a follower of Christ, and that anything less than all I have wouldn't be enough. See, none of us would go and build a house without considering the cost. None of us are going to buy a vehicle or spend money without consulting first whether or not we have the ability to pay for it and if we can see the project through. And Jesus is warning you, saying, look, don't bother. It's going to cost you everything. I'm just going to be up front with you right now. And if you're not willing to pay that cost, you can't be my follower. You can't be my disciple. And I realized at that point that there was still much that I was holding on to. Mark tells the story of a young man faced with the same dilemma. And he asked Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what a question. And Jesus responds this way. He says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. He says, honor your father and your mother. And he looked at him. He says, teacher, he says, declare, I have done all these things since I was a boy. And Jesus looked at him. And he loved him. He says, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have now and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. And the saddest verse is next. He says, the man's face fell because he was sad. He went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, this guy actually thought he had something. This man considered the cost, and he walked away sad. And it took me a few times reading through this scripture to begin to understand that Jesus wasn't after this man's wealth. He's not after your wealth today. He's not after your things. He's not asking for your possessions. He doesn't need your permission. He can take all of that without your agreeing to it. All right? Any one of us at any time, if you have kids, I can go home and take all of my kids' toys right now off in the backyard and burn them. There's not a thing they could do about it. And I think that's the fear many of us have this morning, is that if we draw near to Jesus, somehow he's going to just take it all away from us. And he says if even a wicked father knows how to give good gifts to his kids, how much more does the Heavenly Father know to give good things and his Holy Spirit to those who ask for it? He just want to take your stuff. Now, what I realize is God wants something so much more. He wants your heart today. He wants your heart, and he wants you to freely give it to him. He wants your heart, and he wants you to love him. And that's all he wants. But he wants 100% of it. He says, if you're not willing to give him 100%, don't bother. That's the cost. It's 100%. It's all or nothing. He wants you to love him, but it's the one thing he can't force you to do. That has to be totally on your end. And that's the test here today for us. That do you love him? Do you treasure him? Is he your treasure? Is Jesus Christ your treasure this morning, even to the point of losing everything you have for him? Are you willing to lose your career for him? Would you be willing to lose friendships for him this morning? What about your family or your health, your status? What about your safety and security? Lose it all for him. You see, that's really what the rich young ruler's wealth represented. Safety and security and status. And we live in the richest country right now on the planet, at one of the most prosperous times in existence. And I understand many of us have, we've got a lot. And Jesus warns, that's why it's so hard for the rich man to get into heaven. And if you think you're not rich this morning, I just consider the fact that over half the world lives on $2.50 a day. That's it. I think most studies show this area, I think the median income is over $55,000. And we are rich. We are so rich. And I think that's kind of what blinds our eyes. We think we actually have something here. We're apprehensive about laying it all at God's feet because we think he's just going to take it all from us and I'm going to lose all of this. And he's saying, listen, he's not trying to barter a deal here. He makes it clear. It might cost you everything. But if you're not willing to give all of that up for his sake, don't follow me. Don't come after me. He's warning you. Isn't it amazing? You know, we try to fill churches with a message of prosperity and that you come to Jesus and all the wishes that you've got in life are all gonna come true. And Jesus rebuked crowds. When we actually listen to the words of Jesus, he's warning you. He says, man, the road is tough. You're going to be despised. You're going to be persecuted because of me. If you're not willing to lay it all down, don't bother. I'll save you the trip now. I'll save you the hassle. Or are you going to walk out of here sad this morning? We as leaders, we believe God desires to move mightily in this church. And in your life today, but God cannot and will not move in a life or a church that is not totally surrendered to him. He cannot move in that heart. He cannot move in a church where everybody is not all in. And if you desire to sink your life to the plan and calling God has for you, your first step of two that I mentioned earlier is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ right now. Right now. Don't walk out of here sad today if you've never done it. Totally surrender your heart. Totally surrender your life. Pray whatever prayer is able to get the point across that, Lord, it's all yours. My health, my family, my career, my cars, everything. It's all yours. If you desire to move in that or take it away, Lord, I'm fine with that. He promises the road will be full of persecution and trials, and the price for some of us could be very great. But listen, he also promises to never leave you or forsake you, and that he will be with you forever. He says that no eye has seen or ear has heard or heart has imagined what God has in store for those who love him. And that sealed the deal for me. That sealed it. I was all in. You know, I once heard someone say that God can't use a man greatly until he wounds a man deeply. And it was with a wounded heart one night, and I cried out to Jesus on my bathroom floor 8 years ago and surrendered my life to him. Until this point, I'd only known him as my Savior, but from this moment on, I would know him as my Lord. I would submit to his will now. It would be his way and under his terms and conditions and no longer mine. I told him how very sorry I was, and I messed everything up. I made a disaster of my life, and if he was willing to forgive me of my sins and give me a new life, that I would live it for him now and do whatever he'd asked of me. And let me tell you, he changed my life, and he changed my heart, and he put his spirit in me, and he now calls me his son, and it's so worth it. And he's here right now this morning, and he's willing to do the same for you. Don't walk out of here sad today. Don't walk out of here sad. My testimony in a nutshell is I was born and raised in the church like many of you. And I had a level of understanding and a head knowledge of Jesus and his word. All right, I knew the facts. I knew the stories. I spoke very good Christianese. For those of you that don't know what Christianese is, it's just Christian things that Christian people say to other Christians. And I could fool the best of them. The reality is I was a stranger to him. Reality, I was a stranger to his will. And the plans I made, they weren't his plans, because I never bent my knee and asked him what he wanted from me. My prayers were always, Lord, this is what I want to do. Now bless it. And I thought as long as my checkbook, my bank account was growing, that was evidence of the favor of God. Listen, if Satan had the authority to give it to Jesus Christ, he possesses a lot of this right now. This is his kingdom here. All right, just because you're prospering here, that is not evidence of God's hand of blessing on your life. All right, and I was fooled into thinking that. Don't walk out of here sad this morning. Can I have the worship team come back up, please? You see, Jesus tells a parable of another man's response to the cost of the kingdom. He says in Matthew 13, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went on and sold all that he had and he bought it. Nobody here is given the opportunity to switch bank accounts with Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, would turn it down to keep theirs. Why is it so hard for us to lay down our lives and take the life that he's willing to give you this morning? Don't walk out of here sad. Don't walk out of here sad. You see, my heart trembled the moment that I realized I'd been fooled in believing in a Jesus who tolerated my sin, and all the while I abused his grace, a Savior that allowed me to live for myself and was powerless to transform my life, a God whose primary concern was my health and happiness and never asking anything in return, one who was excited with my marginal Sunday morning attendance and the occasional $10 in the offering plate. You see, I learned to practice a form of godliness, but I denied its power. I had honored God with my lips, but my heart was far from him. I asked him to be my Savior, but I would remain Lord of my life. And if that's you today, surrender. Surrender it all. Right now. Right now. Whatever thing you think you have of value right now, if you don't possess Christ in your heart, you've got nothing. You've got nothing. There's going to come a day of judgment, and that is promised. Every man will die, and every man will see judgment. And if you have not been clothed by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he will say, depart from me, I do not know you. That is to me the most terrifying verse in the Bible. Have you been deceived this morning? And some of you said, I have submitted to him. I believe I've truly given my heart, and I believe that. I believe you love the Lord with all your heart, but you feel somehow your life and his plans are just kind of on two different pages. They're just out of sync right now. And you just don't know what he wants for your life. Let me encourage you to take the next step. If you surrender to him, I want you to take the next step. Begin saying yes to him. Just begin to say yes. He's going to put opportunities in your path. He's going to provide opportunities. And you got to say yes. Maybe it's yes to a Bible study. Maybe it's yes to a prayer meeting. Maybe it's yes to family camp this year. Maybe it's yes to volunteering here. Maybe it's yes to a coffee or a lunch with a friend and just begin to hear their heart. Just say yes. I'm encouraging you. Step out of your comfort zone. God cannot direct a ship that is not moving. No captain can change the course of a ship that is not moving. If you're not moving right now, God can't direct your life. Begin to step out and say yes. Step out of your comfort zone today. It all started from my life, simply saying yes to a men's Bible study. I had no idea what God had planned. All right? Every opportunity I get, I say yes. Yes to help out. Yes to volunteer church. Yes. When I got it, I'm all in. He wants you all in today. Listen, this church is not going to grow. This church is not going to move in the direction he has for it if we are not all committed to this.
And I don't know what that looks like for your life. All right, I don't know. Maybe some of you, it is selling all you have and giving. I don't know what that is. But first, it starts with your heart. If he's got your heart, he's got everything else. And if he's got your heart today, just say yes to him. Affirm your yes.